Hello and welcome to a special emergency edition of the official StopTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan. It is the Friday following round one of the NFL draft. We are coming off of a wild night, which saw AJ Brown get traded, Marquise Brown get traded, which saw six wide receivers go in the first 18 picks. To discuss it all, I, of course, am joined by Evan Silva. I'm also joined by the king of the draft props, Anthony Amico, and by one of the oldest friends of the show, Matthew Friedman of Fantasy Pros. Start with Evan. I see you woke up in a Bugatti this morning or whatever the fucking thing is. I have no idea. How are you doing?
Not quite a Bugatti this year, but it was still a really, really good year. The record is up on from the props is up on Establish the Run Twitter account. And I think that most of the audience probably was very profitable. I mean, I think that if you're going to be a sports bettor, period, if you want to bet on sports, you have to bet on the NFL draft because it's the most profitable sports betting event that there is. You're probably, you know, good chance you're going to lose money betting on other stuff, but this kind of balances it out. And I mean, this is, you know, we're doing this every year at this point, landing squarely, firmly in the green.
Oh yeah. I mean, this is the softest market there is in the whole world. And it's crazy because the menus keep getting bigger. I mean, these books are competing with each other and the books and the menus keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Amico, I know you had a very nice night, about a, what, 2 month grind for you culminating. How's it going?
It's going great. I mean, it's nice when the props hit. I mean, we hit the 40-1. 15 minutes into the draft, and then yes, we were just rolling from there.
Oh, those first five picks, baby. The account was just ballooning, you know, like
paint.
Amico, when are you going to quit this helping America's youth job and grind NBA and NFL draft props full time?
Well, I mean, I have a feeling that eventually they're going to all stop taking my money. So that's the checks will always clear from the school district. So.
That's true. Friedman, how was your draft, buddy? How's it going?
It's going well. I mean, you know, this is the one day a year everyone is a winner. Imagine not winning on the NFL draft. So it wasn't as profitable as your draft. You guys just absolutely crushed it. I looked at the 40-1 with sheer envy. So congratulations on that. But still a good night, up 29.7 units, 61 and 42, you know, workmanlike. Last year, I had 298 bets on the NFL draft. It was just full degenerate mode. This year, I scaled it back to a slim 120. So, you know, still a very profitable night. Happy with the process.
All right. On today's show, we're going to react to round one, what happened last night. Then we're going to talk about some day two props that are up. Before we get into that, two things. Please be sure that you are subscribed to our YouTube channel. We're out here giving out the free gold. The least that you can do is subscribe to our free YouTube channel. And also, as Amico alluded to, as everybody knows, winning at props will get you limited at most sports books. That's why you need lots of books. Go to establishtherun.com/offers and you'll find all of the bonus offers from all the books by state. We have the absurd promo deal with MGM right now. This stuff is not going to last. I mean, talked about it with Strasser. Customer acquisition costs for sports books will eventually have to come down, but while they're out there now, it's insane not to try to grind them. All right, Evan, I mean, the story of the night wasn't even the draft to me. The story of the night was AJ Brown getting traded. I mean, AJ Brown to me, I mean, is not, of all the guys that the Eagles or the Jets or whoever else has been rumored to be after, to me, AJ Brown is like the best. I mean, he's not Tyreek Hill. He's not Devontae Adams. But in that next tier, I mean, AJ Brown is an absolute stud. What did you think, Evan, generally speaking, of the Titans deciding to give up AJ Brown in exchange for picks number 18 and picks number 101 from the Eagles?
Well, for the Eagles, you know, the Eagles have the room, the space to make a move like this because they've got their quarterback on a rookie deal. You know, I think it's not a great fantasy landing spot on paper for AJ Brown. I mean, they have other dudes there that he's going to have to compete for targets with. And it's, you know, the one of the run heaviest teams in the NFL. And I don't think that that's going to change this year. I don't think they're going to open it up or anything. I mean, they have to play a certain way, I think, with Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is like on a trial run here. This is a huge, this is like his prove it year, and they're giving him the best possible chance to succeed. Devontae Smith around him, Dallas Goedert, AJ Brown. And then if he doesn't work out, you remember they acquired an additional first round pick from the Saints for next year. Mm-hmm. So if Jalen Hurts can't capitalize on this, the Eagles will be in prime position to trade up in the draft for what's expected to be a much better quarterback class. You remember the Eagles and a lot of fans and even media, they were trying to run Howie Roseman out of town for the past couple of years because they did poorly in the draft in terms of their results in the draft. And that just happens. Like, a lot of variance in the draft.
Yeah.
Thank goodness they didn't, because, I mean, Howie Roseman is one of the most forward-thinking GMs in the NFL.
Agreed. And he's got big balls. And, you know, like, pick the right player is not a strategy for drafting. Like, that is not a macro strategy. Like, to me, the idea is to get as many swings as you can in the real NFL. Friedman, I think the answer the Tennessee fans want the answer to is, my God, we give up AJ Brown. Yeah, we got Treylon Burks. Are we sure that Treylon Burks can do what AJ Brown does? Because I have my concerns. The rap on Treylon Burks is that he doesn't separate. You know, he's like a LaVisca Chenault type. Yeah, get him the ball in his hands. He's a great athlete. He can go. But that's not really what AJ Brown. I mean, AJ Brown gave you huge plays down the field. So what do you think about Treylon Burks, and what do you think the Titans are doing?
Yeah, I would never blaspheme the big dog in Derrick Henry. But, you know, when you give a running back a big salary and you give a mediocre quarterback a big salary, at some point, you're not going to have enough money to pay the wide receiver who actually deserves a big salary. And now they have Treylon Burks as a result of it. And he, I think, will step into the A.J. Brown role, but he won't be able to play the way A.J. Brown did, because almost nobody can. Like, A.J. Brown is like the latter day Andre Johnson, you know, like the big dude who actually has speed, you know, who can separate, who can win deep, who can, you know, operate on screen passes. AJ Brown can do it all. And Treylon Burks has that kind of style, but I don't think he actually has the AJ Brown athleticism. And that really is what makes AJ Brown who he is. Mm-hmm. So from a fantasy perspective, it's a great landing spot in that, you know, he's going to have a lot of volume coming his direction, very few receivers in that offense to compete with. But I don't think we should expect him to be, you know, just a one-for-one AJ Brown replacement, the way that like Justin Jefferson was a one-for-one Stephon Diggs replacement or something like that. There will be a teardrop. That said, I do still have Treylon Burks as a top two wide receiver in rookie dynasty rankings because of all the opportunity that's going to come his way right away. And he was a first round pick, but we should not expect him to be AJ Brown. Almost no one is AJ Brown.
From a macro point of view, I mean, this offseason has been like wild for wide receivers. I mean, clearly the wildest offseason for wide receivers ever. And like, I don't want to say it's all because of Christian Kirk and the Jaguars, but when Christian Kirk goes out and gets $37 million, like, how can guys like AJ Brown, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, even Marquise Brown, Debo Samuel, like, how can these guys not go out and expect to want huge deals? And some of their teams don't want to pay it. So now you have in one offseason Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, AJ Brown, Marquise Brown, maybe Debo Samuel, all changing teams. I mean, it's completely, completely wild.
Yeah, that's why the whole league is pissed at Trent Baalke.
Okay. Fake Hollywood. You know, I've been hard on fake Hollywood. We can talk more about, you know, the side stuff when we get to Jahan Dotson. But fake Hollywood, I mean, it sounds like he wanted out for a couple of years for whatever. He doesn't think the scheme is for him. And so he says he asked the Ravens for a trade. The Ravens could have kept him for the next 2 years at a reasonable cost. I mean, he had his fifth-year option plus this year. It would have been like around $17 million against the cap cumulative over the 2 years. They decide to fulfill his trade wish, though. The Ravens send Marquise Brown to the Cardinals for the number 23 pick. Amico, I mean, Ravens are barren now. We like Rashad Bateman. I like Rashad Bateman a lot. I like Mark Andrews a lot. Is that enough, though, to support Lamar and the pass game? What do you think about what the Ravens did?
Yeah, I mean, I have to imagine this is not what they wanted to do. Like, I thought that them adding Bateman last year was a step towards trying to become a more Lamar-oriented offense. In terms of passing. And I thought that Lamar was probably would have been able to answer the bell if he could have stayed healthy. There's going to be options for them throughout the draft. I mean, they have a ton of draft picks. especially in rounds 3 and 4. So they're a team that can still add receivers throughout the draft. They want to get some cheaper options. They also have Tylan Wallace, who, you know, last year was someone that I thought fell in the process because of medical, but his prospect profile was pretty good. So if he's someone that they like enough to get into like a starting role, maybe a slot role right away, he's kind of an intriguing play for me fantasy wise. But if, I mean, if they don't add anybody, it's going to be hard, I think, for them to reach maybe the pass rate that we were projecting for them prior to this move.
Evan, I'm curious.
And they had 10 picks,
yeah.
As you kind of alluded to there, Amico, they have 10 more draft picks. We could see them packaged together, you know, a couple of fourth rounders, move back into the second round. I mean, George Pickens is still out there.
Yeah, Sky Moore.
Sky Moore in free agency. You know, what's left of Julio Jones, Odell Beckham coming off the ACL. So they do have some options here. It'll be interesting to see what they can do because they have so much draft capital.
Evan, I'm curious what you think of Rashad Bateman now. And then I do want to get into the Arizona stuff because we do have a return of the shower narrative. I mean, shower narrative, I joked about it going mainstream. It went so mainstream during last year's draft. But like they're trying to make Kyler Murray happy. Kyler Murray is clearly somewhat disgruntled with the fake Sharp, Cliff Kingsbury, and whatever's going on in Arizona. He gets his boy from Oklahoma in 2018. Kyler Murray and Marquise Brown played together, assumed showered together, and now have this great chemistry going. DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Green, Marquise Brown, Rondale Moore. So go ahead on that, Evan, on the Arizona stuff. Anything more on Bateman?
Well, obviously, there's been some unhappiness on the part of Kyler Murray with the Cardinals. So I think that in some ways, this was like extending an olive branch, picking up a dude that he played with in college, and they're known to be close. So I think that it helps, like from that standpoint. DeAndre Hopkins started to show his age last year as well, and they need a downfield playmaker. Kyler Murray can absolutely sling it downfield to the sidelines, and Marquise Brown can play in the slot as well. I think it made sense from a lot of standpoints for Arizona. Rashad Bateman, I mean, you know, I think it's easy to say he elevates to number one on the depth chart and he's looking real good right now. Let's see how the rest of the draft and free agency plays out for Baltimore.
Yeah. Freeman, what do you think about the fit with fake Hollywood, Marquise Brown in Arizona? We have him 68th overall right now, you know, a good couple of tiers behind DeAndre Hopkins. We have 27th.
Yeah, he's interesting. I'll just say quickly, Mark Andrews, I think, is a silently aggressive big winner in this. I think he's now the tight end one for fantasy this year. But on Arizona's side, in the dynasty perspective, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is, I believe, starting to decline. You have AJ Green, who it's amazing that he's still in the league. But, you know, I think he's just going to be one more year in Arizona. You have Rondale Moore, who had an underwhelming rookie year and might not develop into the player we hoped he would be. Zach Ertz, you know, on his last legs in Arizona. I don't know if I really believe in Marquise Brown as an actual football player. Like, I don't know if his style of play really is conducive to the NFL. Like, he feels very DeSean Jackson-esque, where I just don't know if that dude can actually be a dominant, consistent number one wide receiver. But there is a path. Like, there is a path to him getting a lot of opportunity starting this year and having that amplify next year. So I'm interested in the upside, especially because, as you mentioned, he does have that collegiate chemistry with Kyler Murray. So
call it by its proper name, Matt. I mean, you come on our show, come on our show, and you refuse to acknowledge the shower narrative.
I was trying to church it up. here's the thing, Levitan. If you ever learned that two guys who did play college ball together never actually showered together, would your mind be blown? Would you be like, wait a minute, I don't know if this is actually a thing?
No, I would say that those two guys might not have the same chemistry that someone who did shower together have. It'd be very, very clear cut.
Okay, good.
By the way, I don't want to discount Marquise Brown's opportunity he had last year. Marquise Brown was, I believe, top 10 in targets last year. The Ravens, although they get a rap as being extremely run heavy, they were in the middle of the pack in pass rate over expectation. They were also, I believe, in like the top 12 or 13 in just raw passing attempts. So I don't want to say that Marquise Brown didn't have opportunity. He had a ton of opportunity. He's just like 170 something pounds. You know, it just it is what it is. We're gonna get to
and
that.
And he also dropped like five touchdowns.
Exactly, exactly. We're gonna get to that with Jahan Dotson here in a second. I need to argue with Amico here in a minute. Oh, I want to ask about the Steelers thing. Freemore, are you surprised that the Steelers went Kenny Pickett over Malik Willis? Would you have done that with the entire QB draft class on the board for you at 20th overall?
I wouldn't have done that, but you know, I don't know anything. Like I just, all I knew was that this was a horrible quarterback class. That is what I knew. And I bet on that consistently. I bet the overs for draft position for all the quarterbacks and bet under 2.5, under 3.5, all of those hit. And in a class that is consistently bad for the quarterback position, nothing should be surprising. That said, this was still very surprising because the Steelers, I mean, they telegraphed Najee Harris last year, and it looked like they were telegraphing Malik Willis this year, and then they went with Kenny Pickett. Pickett might be more of the NFL-ready quarterback. That is kind of the rap on him. And, I mean, Bob McGann does a great series before the draft where he talks with, you know, league insiders, and they had Kenny Pickett as the number one quarterback in the class. So maybe he really is the best prospect at the position, and they took the best guy on the board. I think Malik Willis, and maybe I'm sort of tainted because of my fantasy perspective on everything, I think he was the better quarterback because he's got the rushing ability. I wouldn't have gone with Pickett. I would have gone with Willis, but it shouldn't be surprising because when everything is so bad at the quarterback position, I think it opens up the possibility for anything to happen.
By never developing any quarterbacks behind Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers backed themselves into a corner where they almost had to take a quarterback here. Like other teams are like, well, this isn't a great class. I'll just pass. And the Panthers, they need a quarterback. They're like, ah, whatever. We'll just pass. The Steelers feel like they're in win now mode. And I think that's why they went Kenny Pickett. Like they want to have a guy they can win with now. Evan, what do you think about the decision to go Pickett over Willis?
Well, I think there's one thing that we can say for sure about Malik Willis, and that's that draft Twitter and draft media were way higher than the NFL on Malik Willis. And I mean, I think that there were signs regarding that throughout the process that could be the case. I still had Malik Willis going to the Steelers at number 20. I mean, they were just the league is just way, way lower on a dude that really, although he has the skill set, he did not dominate at Liberty. And I mean, that's a red flag for NFL decision makers.
Sure. I'm just excited about Malik. We'll see where he lands. We'll talk about that in a minute here. When we get to round two and three props, see where he lands. Because dude's fantasy upside is just like 10x that of Kenny Pickett. Okay, let's talk about all this wide receiver stuff. So six wide receivers go in the first 18 picks. Packers and Chiefs did not trade up for either of them, Amico. I mean, I'm pissed I couldn't bet it. I knew these freaking Packers, these freaking donkeys, were not going to be aggressive. We're not going to trade up. And it got to them. They weren't going to force it at wide receiver. I wish I could have bet because everybody just assumed, oh, Packers definitely going to take a wide receiver. Not only did the Packers not take a wide receiver with either of their first two picks, the Chiefs did not take a wide receiver with each of their first two picks. Everybody really thought that they would. Amico, what did you think of that and anything on Green Bay and Kansas City?
So I don't know if I was really surprised by either. I think I was more surprised on the Chiefs side just because they have 12 picks. They're a contending roster. Like they don't really need to add 12 guys. So I thought that they were like the most likely team to move up and try to take a stab at one of these receivers. Like once Jameson Williams was falling, I was like, all right, the Chiefs have to kind of like make a move here and get that done. And they didn't. And once they didn't, and once Jahan Dotson was off the board with the trade down from the Commanders, I was like, all right, well, this is done. Like none of these guys are taking Christian Watson. Like he's not going in the first round. Like Pickens apparently has all this off-field stuff that you read in the McGinn piece and, you know, a bunch of sources on Twitter and stuff. So it makes kind of some sense that he's not going in the first round. It sounds like he might even slip like outside of the second round today. So, you know, I given the options at where they were picking, not surprising. I think the fact that those teams could have moved up a little more surprising, but you know, the Chiefs really aren't terribly off. I mean, I know that they lost Tyreek Hill, but they added Juju, they added MVS, they still have Mecole. Like they don't have like a desperate need for a receiver. I think when we take a step back and we look, the Packers do. I mean, the Packers are a mess. I mean, Alan Lazard, Robert Tonyan, I mean, the guy they've been connected to the most in the the guy they've been connected to the most in the draft, I feel like has been Jelani Woods, another tight end. Like I have no idea what they plan on doing at receiver, and it's I think that's easily the biggest red flag for me just for this whole offense.
All the good receivers were gone by pick 18. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really hard to move up from 29 and 30 where the Chiefs were and where the Packers were to get up into that mix. I mean, it costs a lot. The Chiefs did end up moving up to get Trent McDuffie, a really good addition. And then they came back and they got George Karlaftis to play edge. I mean, the Chiefs have a lot of needs. Like, this is not, you know, anywhere near a complete roster. They're another team that's going to be in the mix for receivers throughout the rest of the draft.
Okay. What do you think was the best landing spot, Friedman? I think most people would say it's Drake London, the best landing spot from last night for year one production. I mean, Drake London will compete with Kyle Pitts for targets, but not much else. Concern is obviously Marcus Mariota. Did you think Drake London is the best year one impact, Friedman, or is there someone else on your mind?
Yeah, we talked about Treylon Burks, who you know, has the A.J. Brown role. But yeah, Drake London feels like his role is right there with Treylon Burks in terms of what he should expect in target volume, probably a little bit better. Yeah, I mean, I think there's nothing really much to say about some of the other guys who look like they're going to be supplementary wide receivers for the first year of their career. You know, certainly there will be someone else there that they have to compete with. Maybe they become the number one, but it's not a strong number one. It's not a clear number one the way that Drake London is right away. And it's not just the role. It's that he also went in the top 10. Mm-hmm. And he's got that big frame. Like, he has a chance to become like a true dominator pretty quickly.
Drake London. And yeah, people discount draft capital so much, but yeah, Drake London ability to play inside and outside, you know, and I think Atlanta's going to be trailing a ton this year. We have Drake London 67th overall right now, Kyle Pitts 41st overall on what we expect to be a bad Falcons team.
One of the theories about why people were saying the Falcons might not draft Drake London is because he was too similar to Kyle Pitts, but they wound up taking him. They're like trying to build a basketball team, kind of, you know, a team that, you know, increases the throwing rate or helps the throwing radius of Marcus Mariota because they get a bunch of long armed, big time, you know, contested catch guys.
Yep.
Yeah. It's too similar to Kyle Pitts because he's good at football. Oh, incredible, incredible discourse.
Okay. Amico, speaking of good at football. So Amico doesn't like Jahan Dotson and I'm curious what Friedman thinks of a prospect of Jahan Dotson. I of course like Jahan Dotson because shout out Penn State. However, I mean, I also have concerns because I get so tilted. I can't even like every time there's a freaking wide receiver under 185 pounds, under 180 pounds. Oh, perfect comp. DeSean Jackson. He's the next DeSean Jackson. Take a list of all the wide receivers under 180 pounds and show me how many of them had a career like DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson is an absolute freak outlier. Now, I'm not saying one of these other guys can't be Marquise Brown, Jahan Dotson. You know, obviously Tyreek Hill was, whatever. But it's not the likeliest outcome. That said, I think it's a pretty decent landing spot for Jahan Dotson. Way better draft capital than expected. I mean, the NFL, or at least the Washington football team / Commanders, thought that Jahan Dotson was good enough to be worth the 16th overall pick in the draft. To me, that is worth a lot. So, Miko, have you changed your mind at all on Dotson now that we know he has the draft capital? And honestly, landed in a pretty good spot, I think.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to adjust a little bit for the draft capital. I don't know, man. Like, you mentioned the weight. He's a four-year player who is a late producer. Like, those guys usually aren't that good. He's small, and he's not, like, super athletic. Like, usually the guys who are under 180, you want them having, like, the speed and the burst, the athleticism to make up for it. Like, he doesn't really have that. Like, all his testing was, like, pretty mid. So I don't really, like... And I don't love the landing spot as much as you, just because I think he's playing behind McLaurin and some other guys. So, like, I don't know. Like, I have him really low in our initial rankings. I wasn't really sure he'd go in the first round. He went 16th. So, like, he's going to have to come up. Like, mm-hmm. There's no question. But I think he's clearly behind all the other guys that went in the first round. And depending on where Sky Moore goes, I would still probably have him behind Sky Moore as well.
See, I think he's got a chance to catch a lot of balls in Washington.
I mean, I think they're just like disgruntled with Curtis Samuel. And I don't think the competition for targets is that steep.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they can't, they feel like they can't rely on Curtis Samuel, and there's a lot of reasons to agree with that, you know. Yeah. So Terry McLaurin is going to be like the field stretcher. Jahan Dotson has a chance to catch a lot of balls. I think he's going to play in the slot. Mm-hmm. I think he'll play a little bit outside. They'll move him around. I mean, he's a small receiver with, you know, like some ability to play big. Yeah. And number 16 overall, like he's going to be on the field early and often.
I think it's a good point that Dotson, like a lot of these small guys, try to play outside. Jahan Dotson will be playing mostly in the slot, I think.
Yeah, it is notable too. I mean, like I will say that, like, you listen to Jeremiah and Zierlein and Brugler, like they all say, like, you know, really wide catch radius, like attacks the ball aggressively. Like, he's probably better than I'm giving him credit for. I don't want to like do the thing where he gets drafted and then we like way overreact to what we had as the priors, because I feel like that's where we lose.
Yeah, Friedman, go ahead on your Jahan Dotson priors just to get another prospect analysis.
Yeah, this is not a great comp. There aren't really any good comps for him, but you know, Percy Harvin, although I do think he's like a small Percy kind of in terms of like his receiving ability, but he's like Percy without the running ability and minus 10 pounds, which that doesn't really sound all that good. But T.Y. Hilton is one of the few guys who was under 180 pounds and who had a 40 time around what we saw with Jahan Dotson, but T.Y. Hilton was still faster, and T.Y. Hilton had college production immediately. So those are still things that Jahan Dotson doesn't have, but he does have the draft capital. And I will say, I mean, this is anecdotal. It looks like he played faster than his time of 4.43 seconds. Like, he was straight up burning good defensive players regularly at Penn State. We just didn't see that athleticism in his 40 time. I'm of the opinion that he's the number six wide receiver, like pretty cleanly, like not in the top five. Like, I don't think he deserves to be in the conversation for top five, but I do think he deserves to be ahead of all of the other wide receivers, almost regardless of where Sky Moore or Christian Watson are drafted.
Penn State's quarterback play was bad, and Jahan Dotson was still very, very productive. So I'll just say that. All right. By the way, Amico, we had a question here from Clinton Ward. Says, is Amico in his classroom? And is that violating any like child laws or something like that, Amico, if you are in your classroom?
This is not a classroom. The art behind me is actually my wife's. So that's I will let her know that the chat thinks that a 14-year-old drew what she has drawn on the wall.
Okay. I just want to address one thing. You know, if you just like, you know, haven't been looking at the props, haven't been betting anything, and you just wake up, you know, on Thursday, the day of the draft, and then you bet a bunch of stale lines. Like, we talked about how profitable the NFL draft is, but you have to like get on it, you know, and like kind of like do some work, and you know, maybe a month before or so to like get, you know, really good, you know, really good value. You can't just wake up the morning of the draft and bet a bunch of stale lines and think you're going to win.
Yeah, I think most people get that for sure. But yeah, I mean, we started betting this stuff 6-7 weeks beforehand. You can actually bet right now odds to go number one in 2023 draft. I'm sure Amico is already grinding his cock off on that. Anyways, okay, we've talked long enough. The people, they didn't show up for all this. They showed up because they want to know what we are betting for round two props. So first market I want to talk about is who will be the first running back off the board. No running back went in round one. The Bills were foolishly rumored, I think, to be taking a running back. They were too smart for that. I do think Breece Hall is a first-round talent. It's just NFL has realized that there is no reason to do so. I took Breece Hall at minus 110 to be the first running back. I took Breece Hall at minus 180 to be the first running back. Amico, now it's like minus 270. Would you take Breece Hall at minus 270 to be the first running back, or do you think there's value in someone else?
Yeah, it's so tough because, like, obviously laying that kind of juice is difficult, but it doesn't really sound like he's going to make it past Houston. I mean, that's who Zierlein had in his mock this morning. He has been as plugged in as you can be with Houston this year. He had Stingley at three. He had them taking Kenyon Green, which I thought was probably, I mean, maybe one of the biggest surprise picks of the first round. He had that.
Yeah.
And he has them taking Breece Hall at 37. So unless you think that the Jets or someone is going to take a running back before them and that running back would not be Breece Hall, I feel pretty confident that Breece Hall is probably going to be the next running back off the board.
Yeah, I hate laying minus 270, but I'm pretty sure Breece Hall is like so clearly the play. I would probably, I don't think I'd lay over like minus 220. I think minus 220 is a little bit too steep.
Yeah.
For me, it might be a no bet, but yeah, I do think it'll be Breece Hall.
I got to say one thing kind of quickly here. You know, Kenneth Walker is above plus 200. And if it's not Breece Hall, I feel like stone cold, it has to be Kenny Walker. And I do think like Breece Hall, objectively, he's the better player. You know, he's got the three down skill set. He's sufficiently athletic, you know, collegiate production, young. He's got it all. But NFL decision makers, it comes to the second round, they might look at Walker and be like, oh, we want a running back, and this guy fits our scheme better than Breece Hall does. Mm-hmm. So I am inclined to agree with you, you know, Breece Hall, but I wouldn't bet it at the number we have here. And if I had to make a bet on first running back selected, I would actually be taking Kenny Walker at anything above plus 200.
100% agree with that.
Okay. I think that's fair. There's also second running back off the board, Evan. So if you think that it's Walker that goes first, there's some real value on Breece Hall. Okay. There's also guys.
I mean, like the bet there is Breece Hall then. I mean,
sure.
I think that's very straightforward.
I guess you guys are more convinced than me that Kenneth Walker is definitely the number one or number two running back. Like, I don't think it'd be crazy for a team to take James Cook or Isaiah Spiller over Kenneth Walker. And so for me, second running back taken, if you wanted to take a long shot, it would either be James Cook or Isaiah Spiller. Amico, any thoughts on the second running back selected market?
Yeah, I like James Cook. I mean, the number has gotten really short here, you know, versus what I think it probably opened up at a couple weeks ago. But like, I think that he's the kind of running back that teams like, versatile pass catcher. He's a guy you can move all over the formation. Not really going to be super active on first and second down, but he's kind of like that ideal third down back, movable chess piece. And, you know, that's like kind of the missing piece in a guy like Walker's game. So, you know, a team that is looking for that kind of back, I think that Cook presents decent enough odds to place a small wager here.
Yeah, I think that if you're just looking for a sweat, I think James Cook to be the second running back plus 650, I think is okay. Nothing special. Let's talk about quarterbacks. Where do we think Malik Willis will land? I believe that market is up somewhere, Amico.
Yeah, FanDuel has it. A couple other sites, Fox has it.
FanDuel and Fox have where will Malik Willis land. On DraftKings right now, they currently only have who will be the next quarterback off the board. Malik Willis, the massive favorite at minus 550. Amico, do you think there's a chance that it's not Malik Willis, the next quarterback to be taken?
Oh, boy. I mean, there's definitely a chance, right? I these odds are really high. But I think the thing to note also is that the market right now at pick 34 has Malik Willis as a huge favorite on FanDuel and PointsBet. So it feels like someone knows something, right? Like he's coming off the board.
The Vikings soon. Are saying, right?
Yeah, to the Vikings or maybe a team trading into the Viking spot. So that's, right. I think that seems pretty clear at this point.
Well, yeah. Don't the Bucks need a quarterback also? I mean, Tom Brady retired on them and then unretired. They were good, but set to go with like Kyle Trask or something like that. I don't think
they took Kyle Trask like pretty early last
year. Yeah. Yeah. And maybe that's fine. But yeah, I mean, nobody thinks that the Bucks are taking a quarterback. Everybody thinks that. Go ahead, Friedman, on what you think will happen at quarterback. And do you buy that the Vikings are taking Malik Willis?
I do not think it's the Vikings. I talked with someone who talked with someone, so who knows exactly what this information is worth, but it looks like a trade is kind of set up there. Like that's reading the tea leaves, that money has come in on the number 34 pick. It's not going to be the Vikings taking Malik Willis. I strongly doubt that. So it looks like a trade has been set up.
Okay. So it doesn't sound like any of you guys are interested in Ridder or Howell or Corral to be the next quarterback off the board, even at long odds. Corral 14-1, Howell 7.5-1, Ridder 4-1.
If I knew nothing, if I wouldn't have talked with the person who said there's a trade set up, I would have bet on Corral with the longest odds there. Because I do think that out of the remaining players, you know, we're in the second round now. Teams have their different views on quarterbacks. Corral, you know, had great production in the SEC. You could conceivably see him being the next quarterback off the board if all things are equal, but it doesn't seem like all things are equal in this situation.
I think that Lance Zierlein's mock second and third round mock is really worth a look. It's impossible to do second round mocks. I mean, the focus, all the information is on the first rounders. And so it's really, really hard. I mean, think about you know, Ben Standing won the huddle report contest. He only got 10 matches right, 10 out of 32. What's that, like 33%? You know, multiply that level of difficulty by like five, and that's what you get for the potential accuracy of a second and third round mock. But if I was going to do this with anyone, I think it would be Lance Zierlein. He writes all the player profiles for, you know, NFL.com. He's always been very plugged in. His dad was a longtime NFL offensive line coach. And so if there was anybody I was going to look at their second or third round mock, it would be him. He has Malik Willis going 40 to Seattle.
Okay. Yeah, Matt Corral 14-1, I think is at least interesting. Free, maybe can you ask your source this question from Steel Curtain? What team is coming up to 34 to get him, and why wouldn't they have gotten to the first round so they could secure the fifth-year option? Ask your source, your friend of a friend, Friedman. Get him on the phone.
I'm DMing right now. Giants.
Giants. Yeah. I think that's favorite. That's the favorite, right, Amico Willis to the Giants, or is that just getting steamed?
I mean, it's getting steamed pretty hard because it was like, I want to say 25 or so to one this morning, and now it's down to 12-1 on FanDuel. Points bet, I think it was like 7-1. So it's definitely taking some heat.
All right. I'm going to ask a question, then I'm going to go ahead and bet this. I'm going to bet Malik Willis Giants. Would you say 12-1 on FanDuel?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to take that. Okay. Let's go to, first tight end. I think this is an interesting market. No tight ends went last night. The motherfucking Mackey Award winner, Trey McBride, is a massive favorite to be the first tight end off the board. I'm not sure the NFL sees it that way. Evan, McBride minus 450, Dulcich plus 350. Jelani Woods is the one I'm interested in. I think you can get plus 850 in some spots. DraftKings has 8-1. I know Amico talked about the Packers link to Jelani Woods. Evan, you have any takes on who will be the next tight end off the board?
Well, based on the Bob McGinn piece, which like polls NFL scouts, Trey McBride was the clear cut number one tight end rated by, you know, people around the league. Lance Zierlein has Trey McBride as the first tight end off the board, but not until pick number 60 to Tampa Bay. Trey McBride can block. He caught 90 balls last year. He won the Mackey Award, but he played at Colorado State. You know, we talked with Mike Renner about Trey McBride and why was he not getting any first-round buzz. And he kind of compared Trey McBride as a prospect to Dallas Goedert. And Goedert went, I think, in the 40s. So I think that we're going to go – I think that's, you know, his range right now. That's kind of a broad range. But, yeah, I have a level of confidence that he's going to be the first tight end off the board. Jelani Woods is really interesting because, you know, he's one of these guys. Like, I think NFL teams are realizing that if you can find a big dude that's tough and athletic, at tight end, the college production isn't as important as it is at other positions. But if you can coach up a dude that is big, tough, and athletic, and that's what Jelani Woods is.
By the way, because we were talked about it on here now, a FanDuel line immediately went to 7.5-1 on Malik Willis to the Giants. That's how fast this stuff moves. I think if you have money on Fox, though, I think you can still get a much better number if you have access to Fox. Amico, I know you've been looking at the Jelani Woods stuff. What do you think about Jelani Woods to be the next tight end, 8.5-1?
Yeah, I still think that's a good price. I mean, 8.5-1, like that's a little over 10%, you know, that you need to hit there. Like, I think that's reasonable. Like, he has literally the best athletic profile of any tight end that we've seen. We already have a link to a team that has two picks in the second round in the Packers that has seemed pretty strong in some of these reports that I've read. So, you know, I think he's right in the mix. Like, McBride is clearly the better producer. Like Evan said, like, there should be a degree of confidence that he could be first. I just don't think that these odds are appropriate for Woods. Like, I think that he should be a little bit closer.
Yeah.
You know, to Dulcich and that second, you know, he's like clearly in a third tier in the odds. And I think he belongs closer to like plus 250 or so, plus 400.
I went over to FoxBet and it's down to plus 275 from Malik Willis to go to the Giants. So we completely wrecked that market. Nice job, everyone. Okay. Friedman, any thoughts on Jelani Woods or should we move on?
Just to echo what you guys said, if I had to bet on the tight end market, it would probably be Jelani Woods because the dude is a freak.
Miko, can we take this punt god dude at minus 400? I mean, I know you got it when we talked about it on the podcast. Hopefully you guys listen to the podcast and you got it. What'd you get it at, Miko? Like 2-1 or 2.5-1 or 175 or something like that?
Yeah, I think it was plus 150 when we talked about it on the show. Yeah.
Plus 150. Now, punt god Matt Araiza is minus 400. Is there any value even in minus 400 there?
So what's really interesting, actually, is the McGinn stuff had Jordan Stout higher. And what they were saying about Araiza, and this is something that Zuerlein had said as well, is that he kicks the ball really far, but he's really raw, which is like a weird thing to hear about a punter. But like the hang time, you know, I mean, you don't like talk like the hip swivels, you know, like all this stuff, like this matters at punter. So there is definitely a chance that Stout would go ahead of him. So that is probably the bet to make if you're looking to get in on this market now, if you're itching for punter action. Definitely would not surprise me if Stout came off the board sooner.
All right. There is the punting segment of the show.
What are the numbers on Stout? Plus 300 at DK?
275 on DK right now, yeah.
And what is it at FanDuel?
I'm not sure.
I don't even think they have. I don't think they have
special. They don't have it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Last thing I wanted to talk about was draft position on Sky Moore. It looks like DraftKings has 41.5. I saw some 38.5s out there. Friedman, any take on where Sky Moore is going to go? I'm tempted to go under here just because like there's teams that need wide receiver that struck out last night that may think that Sky Moore is actually a first-round talent and they can move up to get him. So I have some interest in under 41.5 here on Sky Moore. What do you think?
I am probably not going to bet it in part because I do have an investment on the Sky Moore over of like 34.5. And so I'm just going to kind of sit with that number and hope that I get there. But if I had to bet this now, I probably still want it because it could be George Pickens. It could be Christian Watson if a team really wants a wide receiver. And so, you know, I do think we see one, maybe two wide receivers go in that range. But even if that happens, you know, it could be someone else other than Sky Moore.
Amico, any takes on where Sky Moore is going to go here?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be the next receiver taken. And I know that he's second in odds on that. I think he's like plus 170 or so, depending on where you're looking. So I kind of think he's an under here. Like, he's the best receiver clearly to me. Like, I think everything that you read before the draft that wasn't from media, that was from teams, said that Christian Watson was not going to go on day one, that he was clearly a day two player. But Moore was getting some buzz on day one as maybe a late play. Like, I think he's clearly the next receiver off the board for teams. And I think that one is probably going to come off the board in the first, you know, eight picks or whatever this is in the first round, second round.
Evan, there's been some negative press around George Pickens lately. We took a bet on George Pickens to go in round one, and then all this negative stuff came out about George Pickens afterwards. What do you think about Sky Moore, Pickens, Christian Watson? How does the NFL see them, and would you take Sky Moore under 41.5?
No, I probably wouldn't. Not on Sky Moore. Zuerlein has Sky Moore going to the Ravens at 45 to be like Hollywood's replacement. I think that makes some sense. But I guess I would lean toward Sky Moore going early, because if you look at a lot of these teams drafting early on day two need receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of them.
Yeah. It's going to go Bucks, Vikings, Titans, Giants, Texans, Jets, Bears, Seahawks twice, which is interesting if they're considering trading DK Metcalf. And so those are the spots to get under 41.5 on Sky Moore. I'm on a Sky Moore Island here. I'm going to take the under on Sky Moore 41.5, but nobody else is.
Let's go.
So there it is. All right. Let's talk about, you guys can put some questions in. I saw a question about, this was an interesting one from Brandon May. Rams to take a punter or kicker as their first pick is plus 1900 has been steamed down from plus 6,000 a couple of days ago. What do you think about that, Amico? The Rams first pick punter or kicker. They do seem to like these like punter kicker types that are like really good.
Yeah. And they have a clear need there, right? Like Johnny Hecker's gone. This is not a team that has a lot of needs. They're coming off the Super Bowl. So I could definitely buy it. I mean, depending, you know, especially given where they pick so late. And I mean, the Patriots took their top target there, Cole Strange in the first round. So, I think that, you know, these are the kind of bets we should be making on day two and three of the draft, like the long shots that are kind of fun. I think that's one to root for.
Yeah,
McVay and Snead, they were lit.
Yeah. Last night. You think they were drunk or they were drinking? Right.
Oh yeah. They were partying big time.
All right, you guys can ask some more questions here if you have any markets that you want us to talk about. We have about 5 minutes here. Trey McBride, where he goes, line is currently 46.5. Friedman, and takes on Trey McBride over under 46.5.
I mean, that line feels about right. I would lean over if I had to bet it, but I probably wouldn't. One that does stand out to me in terms of the draft position for a receiver is John Mechie over 57.5. I've bet this multiple times over the past couple of weeks. He has a 66.9 expected draft position at grinding the mocks. In my final three-round mock, I had him going number 74. Every other mock that I've looked at today that was done like this morning to look at everything for rounds 2 and 3, all of them have had him going after pick 57.5, normally like in the 70s or 80s. And that's including Lance Zierlein, including some other mock drafters who did well in the current competition. So I'm looking Mechie over 57.5.
I really like that one. I mean, and he's coming off an injury. He's viewed as sort of like a limited possession receiver. There's no athletic measurables on him. Yeah, he seems like a guy that the teams are going to shy away from.
Yeah. Okay. I like that one. People want to know, Amico, about Pickens now. I mean, you know, this Pickens stuff has gotten out of control. I didn't really follow exactly what happened, but it's certainly seems like some off-field stuff or injuries. I'm not even sure what's going on, but he's been sliding a ton. What do you think about Pickens 45.5?
Yeah, so the only thing that's tough about that is that the number is right after the Browns and the Ravens. But, like, this off-field stuff just sounds so bad. Like, I have to think that he would have probably been taken in the first round if it wasn't for some of this stuff. I don't want to, like, speculate exactly on what, but it's just everything you read. Mm-hmm. So I'm willing to go over there. Like I think that the NFL pretty much lets these guys fall down the board. We've seen that every year.
Brandon is asking about, you made a tweet about Kyler Gordon being a professional dancer. I'm not sure what's going on there, but do you want to explain, Amika?
Yeah. So Walter Football put out this thing that like Kyler Gordon was supposed to go in the first round, but teams are worried that he's not committed to football because he is a competitive dancer, which is true. He is a competitive dancer. There's like a video on YouTube of him dancing. Which is like
what is competitive dancing exactly?
I'd imagine like, it's like for judges,
but you know,
like for judges and they score you. That's my presumption.
It's like a Silver Linings playbook.
Okay.
But it's like the next thing that these GMs, I guess, are dinging guys for, you know, hobbies outside of football. So, I mean, I'm not betting on that. Like he's clearly the best corner left on the board and like 37.5, like he's gonna go. I would imagine he's gonna go still.
Wouldn't competitive dancing be like good for his back pedal and his hips?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like he should be. It should be a good thing. Skill transfer.
From Yankee Kid JC, he said Barstool has a lineup. Will there be 3.5 over under 3.5 quarterbacks taken in round 2 specifically? That sounds like a lot for round 2. It'd have to be Willis, Ritter,
under. I don't know what the odds are. I would hammer the under on that.
Agreed.
Definitely. Just round 2, like not even including round 3. Like that's insane.
Just round 2.
Here's a good question, Evan, from Sean George. What the hell happened to Jermaine Johnson yesterday? I had some bets on Jermaine Johnson to go like second overall, top 5, top 10. Jermaine Johnson went 29th. Any idea what happened there, Evan?
Well, clearly the Jets really like Jermaine Johnson. And yo, Daniel Jeremiah is like Joe Douglas's best friend. Information gets out from the Jets. And so we know for sure the Jets really love Jermaine Johnson. I mean, they came back in and traded up for him, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's quite possible that the rest of the league wasn't as high on Jermaine Johnson. He's a little older, and teams are on to the age thing. You know, it just turned out that I think the league was not as high on Jermaine Johnson as we knew that the Jets were.
There's all this team stuff up, Amico. I find it really hard, especially in the second round, to identify some of this team stuff. Like, you know, New Orleans to take a wide receiver was like plus 340 yesterday, or plus 275 or something. Like that was clear, I bet, I think, in the first round. But in the second round, it's so hard. Any thoughts on this team bets, how to think about them. Arizona, you can take a long shot on them, take a corner or something like that. I don't know, but there's a ton of them out there still.
Yeah, I think that these bets tend to be pretty minus EV at this point, just because they're going to just flatten the odds out and jack the vig up, and you're going to get killed. So I prefer like offense defense if you're going to take one of those. I think a couple books, I know like Bet365 has those. I don't know if anyone else does, but like that's usually like where I'd want to go on something like this. But I can't really try to figure out what Arizona is going to do. I mean, I think that defense probably makes the most sense, but a couple people close to the Cardinals have mocked them O-line in the first round. So this is a pass for me, I think.
All right. A couple more questions we take before we got to get out of here. Evan plus San Francisco plus 150 to draft a wide receiver. Plus 150 seems really low, but yeah, if you think Debo's gone, you have to think they want receiver. What do you think about what 49ers are going to do, Evan?
Yeah, see, I have like bias here because I got this one at plus 450 like two weeks ago. So there's just no way that I could justify myself paying, you know, plus 150 for this. It's just,
yeah. I agree. Plus 150
is so short. And they didn't trade Debo, you know? Yeah. So, and I mean, they're probably going to end up paying him, I would think, at this point, because that's just how it's going to end up working out, I think. I mean,
yeah, I would not take plus 150 on that bet, Corey. Who will be the number 33 overall pick is an interesting market. In other words, whose name will be called first tonight? Heavy favorite is Logan Hall. I'm not sure where that steam is coming from. There must be some reporting out there on it. Friedman, have you heard anything about who will be the number 33 overall pick? And is there any of these long? I mean, you can get really good odds on anyone else besides Logan Hall to be the number 33 overall pick.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything specifically, but this is a fairly obvious kind of like Logan Hall was routinely mocked in round one by a lot of sharp mockers. And one of the preferred landing spots was Tampa Bay. And so they traded down. And I think people are just looking at the connection there and just hammering a guy that they think should have gone in round one to the team that they thought he might go to.
Yeah. Amico, any thoughts on this market? I mean, there's some real long numbers here. I mean, N'Kobe Dean, 21-1. I mean, it's not like that crazy, you know. Anybody else there stick out to you?
Yeah, I mean, a couple people close to the team have tweeted about like Logan Hall being the target for them. So I feel like that's where this is coming from. If you wanted to stick with the D line and go with a different player, like Travis Jones is another one of those guys that was mocked in the first round. But I mean, I don't know. Like these bets, these markets move pretty quickly on action, as you saw with the Giants thing. Like, I feel like people are just pounding Logan Hall today.
So. Yeah, it seems like the information's out there on Logan Hall. I'm not sure I want to bet into that. By the way, got some good notes here from Dane. Says Peter Schrager said multiple teams have Stout as a better play, as a better punter than the punt god Ariza. So at least worth noting that they're in that market for a special teamer to come off the board. From Juwan, James Cook over under 68.5. Amico, any thoughts on that? I know you're a James Cook guy.
Yeah, I like Cook. That as the number gets lower, obviously it gets a little thinner. But I mean, that's another way I think to attack Cook. Is it plus money still to go under that number?
I'm not sure. I clicked off.
Yeah, under 69.5 is plus 128 on FanDuel. Like, I think that's a fine look with the odds. I think that's good.
Okay. All right. Maybe do one more here. From Scotty, if you can only make one bet today, which is it? I like Friedman's take on the Mechie over. That's one for me. Friedman, if you could only make one bet today, what would it be?
Yeah, I mean, it would be Mechie, and it would be the Giants plus, you know, 1200, which doesn't exist anymore. Yeah. But yeah, it would be Mechie.
Amico, one bet today?
I'll be going Pickens over.
Pickens over. Evan, did you make a bet today?
I really like the Mechie one.
Okay.
I hit that one hard. You know, just realize that today and tomorrow is way less predictable than the first round, and the first round is not very predictable. Okay. Yeah. So just be careful. You know, like we had a really good day yesterday, and let's not punt it all away on shit that we're just throwing, you know, darts into the ether.
Yep. Jim, friend of the show, big Giants fan. I like what the Giants did, man. It's not fantasy or betting related, but I do like what the Giants did in round one for sure. Last one for Steel Curtain. Kenny Walker over under 48.5. Amico, any thoughts on that one?
It's probably just a pass for me. Like, yeah, these running backs, like, it's hard to know.
I think it's a pass to Friedman, 48.5 on Kenny Walker.
No opinion. I wouldn't bet it.
Yeah. All right. That is going to do it. Appreciate you all being here on our YouTube. Be sure to check out establishedrun.com/offers when you're looking for places to bet all these props. Also, be sure to subscribe. It is indeed free on our YouTube channel. Thanks for hanging out, everyone. We appreciate you. For Evan, for Friedman, for Amico, I am Adam. Good luck, everybody.